This is Sefer Shoftim, the first chapter. The book of Shoftim, or Judges, picks up right after the death of Yehoshua. According to our tradition, it was written by none other than the Navi, the prophet Shemuel, whose name is the name of the next book after Shoftim, Sefer Shemuel. In accordance with the instructions that Yehoshua delivered before his death, the tribes continued their efforts to conquer territory in the land of Israel and apportion it among themselves, expanding and securing their borders. So our chapter provides several highlights of these incursions and these battles. For example, we hear that Shevet Yehuda, in their efforts to expand their territory, encountered a tyrant who was apparently very well known at that time, named Adoni Bezek. And this Adoni Bezek used to very ruthlessly dominate and humiliate the kings that he conquered, cutting off their thumbs and their big toes and forcing them to scavenge underneath his table for scraps in order to survive. When the Jews capture him, they cut off his thumbs and big toes, and he himself recognizes the divine justice in this punishment, that he got what he deserved for having inflicted the same on so many others. He says that there were 70 kings scavenging under his table, all of whom had been robbed of their large toes and their thumbs. We also see here a recap of a story that we saw almost word for word in Sefer Yehoshua, the story of Kalev, Otniel ben Kenaz, and Achsa, the daughter of Kalev. This story is repeated here, and almost word for word, slight differences in the wording. But as we mentioned, when we studied Sefer Yehoshua, there were some who say that the reason why the story is repeated is because it has a material, physical meaning, and it also has a symbolic meaning. One who's interested in that can go back and refer to our shiurim on Sefer Yehoshua. The several of the other tribes, Menashe, Ephraim, Zivulun, Asher, Dan, and Naphtali, don't exactly remove all of the Kena'anim who are dwelling in their midst. Instead, since they have the upper hand, they allow these Gentiles to continue living in Israel and worshiping idolatry as long as they pay taxes and they pay tribute to the rulers, to the Jews. However, this failure to cleanse the land of Avodah Zarah and to establish an exclusively Jewish community in Israel actually prepares the stage, unbeknownst to them, sets the stage for a lot of problems that are coming around the bend. These are both political problems, military problems, as well as spiritual problems, exactly as the Torah warned us that it was imperative that we remove all of the idolatrous nations from our midst and create a purely monotheistic community in Israel. Otherwise, we would be in for trouble, and that's exactly what the Jews are going to discover in the course of the book of Shoftim, as we will see. It's important to mention one interesting motif of the book of Shoftim, which is in a way a central theme of the book, and that is the lack of central government in the times of the Shoftim. There's no one leader or centralized body that governs the people during this period of time. Up till now, we've had Moshe Rabbeinu, then we had Yehoshua. There was a sense of national unity. What we observe in the book of Shoftim is more of a loose confederacy of Shevatim. Each Shevet, each tribe is operating on its own to secure its own territory and its own borders. And sometimes they work in alliance with one another. Sometimes they work separately from one another. But however they operate independently of any oversight, any ultimate oversight on the national level. And that way, it's kind of reminiscent of the way that the colonies who first came to America didn't have a central, they didn't have a federal government, they didn't have a constitution, but instead they had something called the Articles of Confederacy. These Articles of Confederacy were like a treaty amongst sovereign states. Initially, the states of the Union that we know today as the United States of America, each of them was a type of sovereign state in its own right, independent of all the others. All that they shared was a common commitment to survive and to thrive and to help one another, but essentially they were independent. Today we have, at the state level, governments. We also have a federal government that oversees everything. And of course, as we know, a lot of political discourse in America has to do with the balance between the federal powers and state powers. What is within state rights? What is within federal rights? What can the federal government regulate? What do the states have the right or the ability to regulate? And so, in a similar fashion, the Jewish people will try to solve this question for themselves. To what extent are they united? They know that they're united by the Mishkan. They know they're united by the Torah. They know they're united by belief in Hashem. They know they're united by religion. But they don't have a federal government, so to speak, above them. They are independent politically. And eventually in the book of Shemuel, which is the book that follows Shofetim, we will read about the appointment of kings. First the anointment of Shaul, and then later the anointment of David and the establishment of the monarchy of David. And of course we know that both of those kings were anointed by none other than Shemuel, who is the author of the book of Shofetim. So in a way we can see the book of Shofetim as a kind of prelude to the establishment of the monarchy. It justifies the establishment of the monarchy, because as we're going to see, the lack of centrality, the lack of a sense of if you know, to borrow the term, federal oversight for the Jews, led to many problems and created a circumstance that required really some kind of more centralized government, some kind of a monarchy to set things in order. And so in a way, Shemuel HaNavi is justifying the outcome of the establishment of a monarchy by telling us the story of how things went during the period of the Shofetim, when there was no such stability and predictability in the governance in Israel. So as we will see in the upcoming chapters, the first issue that needs to be dealt with is the fact that we now have competing communities. We have the Gentile communities living side by side in Israel, and eventually other problems will arise as well. But one of the key themes, as I mentioned, is this lack of stability. The fact that we are dependent constantly on shofetim, on judges rising up and taking control and putting things in order, kind of independently of any structure of leadership. These shofetim will arise and they will guide the people. They will direct the people, but only when crises emerge, not when things are calm, not when things are functioning normally. And that is in contradistinction to the way it will be when there's a monarchy that's ever present in the people's lives, even when there's no need for intervention or interference. So we'll see that there's a trade-off involved here, as there is in our societies today. But that we will leave for chapter 2.